Warning, warning, art emergency, art emergency.
Hang on a second, I just got to, I thought I turned that off. You know, I have that. Do you have that set?
What's it?
The emergency call?
No.
Oh.
No, I turned off all my notifications, including every alert.
How are you going to respond then?
I don't know.
That doesn't seem like you're a responsible member of the art community.
Well, I didn't even know that was an option. Was it the new update on the iPhone?
It's for our society, so we can survive a cultural apocalypse.
Is it like the bat signal?
Yes,
like
very much like the bat signal.
Like from the Phoenix Art Museum rooftop or something?
Well, I wish it was the Phoenix Art Museum. No, this was just from the Children's Museum. Hey, I have a story.
Okay. What's your art emergency, James?
On, let's see, I think it was Sunday night, a friend of a friend got in touch with me and said, "Oh my God, we need art." That's not true at all. I don't know what position she has, but she's one of the executives at the Children's Museum here in Phoenix. And she said, "You know, we have an opening coming this Friday for this thing we're doing for the kids, but we have all this open wall space. I was wondering if you guys knew of an artist we could have to come in and put their work up. And I was thinking of you, and maybe you could bring in your stuff, James." And so,
nice.
You know, that was on basically Monday. We actually talked on Monday. So between Monday and Friday, I had to get my stuff up. So it was kind of a last minute thing. That's not normal to have a show put on basically in 3 days, because I actually put it up. She called me on Monday and I had it up by Tuesday.
I love that though. Sometimes, you know, that in the moment thing works.
That was the art emergency.
Ah, they needed art and you complied.
Well, they didn't need it, but they're opening up to the idea of having more local artists display, because they have a lot of stuff for kids, but that leaves a lot of open wall space in this museum that they have downtown.
I've not been there. Where is it? Is it like across from Heritage Square? Just,
all you got to do is rent a kid or two and
no
bring
thanks.
Them over there. It was a fun, we used to bring my son over there quite frequently, and it's on 7th Street and what's the cross section? It's down past McDowell by a way. So it's downtown-ish. It's maybe Roosevelt and 7th Street.
Okay. Yeah, I think I know where it's at. Very cool. So you hung your stuff. Are you going to an opening tonight or what?
Yeah, I'm going to go. So it's a massive room, and what they've done is put an ice rink up.
Nice.
No, not a real ice rink. It's they put down these slick tiles so you can skate, quote, skate in your socks.
Oh, cute.
The kids go whizzing around on their socks and slamming into the walls, my artwork will be falling on their heads.
Oh, that's awesome.
I should say my paintings.
So if it falls on their head, do they have to buy it?
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Okay.
They're buying a memory.
Buying a memory.
Oh, they will always remember this scar on your forehead. This is from that painting. What better gift can you have?
That sounds fun. How long is the rink going to be open?
It will be up through January. So
oh,
it will come
wow.
down beginning of February. And I guess we're going to have to find some more artists for them for their next shows.
Oh, wow.
It's a really nice thing that they're doing, I thought.
I think that's great. I think it's great. It's great for the community.
Thumbs up to Betsy Furman for reaching out to me and not having any other art friends.
Yes, Betsy, way to go. Well, I'm
it's
excited.
Good for people. I think it's a good thing that a lot of people don't know artists, because that gives me more opportunities.
Well, good. So you're doing that tonight. So you responded to the art call.
Oh, yeah.
What's the logo? So, like Batman has a bat. What's the art? Like, is it just a big paintbrush or is it like... What is it? What's the signal?
Splattered paint? Yeah. Or a big Andy Warhol, Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, right. And her mouth moves like...
I would not respond to that. If that was up in the sky, I'd say, nope. Yeah, I guess this is the first... Wow, this is kind of weird. This would be my first opening I've been to in like 2 years.
Wow.
And it's at a children's museum.
I love it. Well,
I'm moving up in the world.
Congratulations. I think that's very... very special, and I'm happy for you.
Yeah, I haven't been out at all.
Yeah, who
course,
has?
The
who
last
has?
One was at Meditative Arts Gallery, which was our gallery.
Our gallery, right.
That was open for 2 months in 2020 and then closed for COVID.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Those were the days, man, memories.
I was filled with such hope and expectation back then.
Me too.
It's all gone.
Me too. I remember in 2019, it seems like just yesterday, and
have
I worked...
Have you even been out to a restaurant since then?
No, I don't go, no.
All right, have you done anything out, aside from coming to my crummy little house?
No. Mm-mm.
Wow.
Now, I've gone to Susan's house. I've met Susan and Jim in a park. I've gone to Costco a couple times.
Oh, Costco, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Costco's good. Well, yeah. Does Costco count as a restaurant?
No, I wouldn't even remotely consider that a restaurant.
Well,
the
you
food
can get
court.
Pizza. Yeah. I've never had their on-site pizza, but I've heard it's very good.
It's okay. The cheese is a little suspicious.
Is it?
But I don't know. It doesn't seem to melt properly. But you know, if there's a alleged pizza emergency, yeah. I guess you know it'll do. I prefer my pizza. I make pizza. I perfected pizza crust over the pandemic.
Maybe you should open a restaurant.
Ooh, there you go.
That must be weird. How kind of wacko would open a restaurant? Doesn't that seem like the most, you know, it's probably just because I don't understand food preparation. But it seems like such a stretch and a difficult thing to do. I think it is
a difficult thing. And, you know, a couple people that I knew that we would go, like there was this lovely restaurant, Persian Garden, and it closed during the pandemic.
You say that like, do you expect me to know that? Because I don't.
Yeah, it was just lovely. You know, a lot of these restaurants close, like the cute little ones, like where you'd actually know the proprietors' names and you go in there and you felt like family. And
It's hard apparently it's very difficult to make a going of it.
Yes, very, 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 very difficult. So are you thinking of opening a restaurant?
Yeah, no, like I said, that's like one of the worst ideas I would have. It's just not something I have a good sense for. I mean, I have ideas, you know. I have mm-hmm. some strong ideas about restaurants.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
So I guess I have a starting point where I would. You have strong opinions on restaurants.
I have strong. Well, my father had a party cake and candy business in Chicago.
Wow, you know, Christopher's family mm-hmm. has some bakery people in their midst, and some what's the other thing?
Catering
and bakering, I think, or something. Bakering
yes. and catering.
Bakering. Have you fantasized about opening a restaurant?
Sure, sure. Well, I grew up, we had a commercial kitchen in our basement. It was like a full-on commercial kitchen for
baking.
In the
basement?
Yeah, it was like a finished basement in Chicago.
It seems a little bit creepy.
No, it wasn't. It was beautiful. All right.
Just anything in that basement seems creepy.
No. It was really, it was an old house, but it was really well done. And
all right,
it was
Catherine,
a shame. What?
If you won the lottery, would you open a restaurant?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, because I think it's a hard business, and I wouldn't open.
Well, if you have the lottery, though, you have the luxury of not having to make it actually work financially. You can just run it however you want, and then if it makes money, great. If it doesn't, who cares?
What's your idea? Because I have two ideas that I've been, you know, actually one I've been marinating on.
Why don't you start, since I haven't really thought about this much.
Okay, well, years ago.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I bought a cookbook. I think I'm looking at it right now. It's called
Silver. Are you talking into the mic?
No, I'm talking. I was looking for my cookbook. No, I bought this cookbook years ago. It was called the Silver Palette Cookbook. And it was two gals that had all these wonderful recipes. And I learned a lot from their recipes. And then I kind of riff. I don't really use recipes. I use it as a suggestion or starting point. But my fantasy from that point on, it's going over like 25 years, I thought, oh gosh, it'd be so cool to have a funky little, very, very small, 4 or 5 table little place, like a bistro-ish, and then just do like a quiche of the day, a salad of the day, a soup of the day, and then like a couple desserts. And then you can have like side dishes that people can take home, your signature quinoa salad or something, you know, and just be open from like 9 to 2 and have just really good coffee. And it just be this little stopping off point, like a scone of the day, and just have like a limited amount of food. You make what you make. There's no menu. It's like whatever you feel like making that day, you make it, you post it. People come, they eat. When they eat it all, it's gone. You close.
I love it.
Do you?
I think that would be great. You know, the Tuck Shop did that to some degree. They would buy their ingredients that day. They didn't have any refrigeration on site. So they bought their ingredients at the beginning of the day. They cooked it, and then that was it.
I loved the Tuck Shop. That was one of my go-to. When I lived in the hood over there, I would go there.
It's called the Coronado now, and I don't know what the transition there was. I don't know if they completely sold, if any of the old people are in the new place or what's
going on. I don't know. I didn't follow that whole story. The Coronado Cafe used to be right off of 7th Street, and the old Coronado mm-hmm. Cafe was really, you know,
forgetting. It just moved.
Yeah, it just moved, and so I don't know if it's just vegetarian. DJ said he works there.
Yes.
We should go see him.
I know, we should, but we won't because we're terrible people.
We are terrible people.
And we don't get out. But I love the idea of just going someplace and ordering food, right? Not having to go through a list of 12 different entrees or something like that.
Right, and that's what I was thinking yesterday. I was just like, oh gosh, I really just, you know, I'm not like jonesing to like go out and sit in a restaurant and deal with the anxiety that produces in this day and age for me. But I really am tired of cooking. I'm tired of doing dishes. I'm tired of, you know, pulling stuff out of my hat, trying to be creative so everyone here doesn't get bored. And I've become very good at it, but it's like getting a little old.
Have you gotten any takeout?
Yes, I do get takeout. Okay. Yes,
well, maybe
I do.
You should just go on a takeout binge for a week.
I'm thinking about that. Yeah, takeout sounds good tonight. What should I get?
There you go.
Ooh.
Well, don't ask me. I am terrible. I don't know what's happened to my brain the past year, but I want to eat everything. I'm so suggestible now. If I see a commercial for anything, a burger, Chinese food, Brazilian, it doesn't matter what it is. I want it. I want it all.
Really?
And I want it now. Yes.
Really? So anyway, so that's my restaurant idea. And the second, I had two. I've always been a big fan of like mobile businesses, you mm-hmm. know, because I think that the brick and mortar situation, you know, it's pretty tough. And so I had an idea years and years ago when I was in yoga teacher training to have like a mobile yoga studio. And then one of my fellow students and I were talking about it and he was like, we got to do this. And then lo and behold, you put that out into the universe, as it were, and with the, you know, collective consciousness, some gal in Northern California or somewhere got a stipend from Yoga Alliance to do the same thing that Scott and I were talking about doing for like 6 months. And so, but I thought it'd be kind of fun to have like a mobile yoga studio. You can go to nursing homes or do some chair classes, stretching.
So are you saying you would go to a place and set out your yoga stuff, or that you would do it in a vehicle, or how is this working?
No, you would just go, like, it'd be like yoga to you. That's what we were going to call it.
Okay. So, I got it.
Yeah. And then you go.
I was picturing that you would take an old school bus and do the yoga inside that. And I was picturing how funny it would be for people trying to stretch out and like banging into the walls.
That would be so awesome. You'd have to limit your classes. And I thought, how about just having a mobile yarn store? Where you'd set up at like these farmers markets and then do knitting classes and just like pull out your chairs and then have kids and they could sign up for classes. You can do demonstrations.
Are there that many knitters out there?
There used to be. I think knitting was probably a bigger thing, you know, several years ago.
That seems like a very niche kind of thing.
Yeah, it is kind of niche.
But I tell you, one of the saddest things, I don't know, it seems sad to me. Here in Phoenix, you know, it gets very hot.
Yes.
Right. And kids parties are such a big thing now. Mm-hmm. And they have been for years, but it's not, when I was growing up, kids parties were not as important.
Right.
Or these large overdone events like they are now. There's this company you can call up and they will drive out this huge van mm-hmm. that has, I think it's like 6 to 8 gaming stations, video gaming stations inside the van.
Nice.
So you can call, you can rent this for your kids' party so they can all go in the van and, you know, it's got air conditioning, it's climate controlled, and they can go sit in the van and play video games, which struck me as just being super sad. I don't know. You hire a van, you put your kids in the van and they're just playing outside in the van video games?
It's kind of cool on one hand, and then it's like just creating more isolation on the other, because the point of a party would be to play weird games and run around and laugh and throw people in the pool. And
you invite people, you know, you invite people over your house. It's a new environment for them.
Right.
And it's, I don't know, it's something really sad about it for me. So, and it was, you know, wildly expensive.
Oh, I think that would be wildly expensive. Wow. That's a great business idea, though.
Well,
I think it is. And it's kind of cringy, but it's cool in its own right.
My response to that was, this was years ago, we borrowed an extra Xbox. We had an Xbox. We borrowed an extra Xbox from actually my brother-in-law, who used it for Guitar Hero. bought like a $300 TV, a smaller 32-inch TV. Mm-hmm. And we plugged one Xbox into that in the back of our house. And the other one, the Xbox was plugged into our main TV in the front of the house, and I also splurged on a 100-foot Ethernet cable so I could connect the two Xboxes together so the kids could play Minecraft together all in the same house. And you know, they can get up, they can go and get some cake, they can play around, they're not tied down to this video game experience. it's just something they can do. And my son and I, we planned out some Minecraft games that we set up so that they have something to actually do specifically. And then they played also, of course, they played Halo Reach. And that was, you know, just all local because we had the two Xboxes tied together. It was dirt cheap. I still have that TV. I still use that second TV.
Nice.
So it was a great investment. And we used it for several years.
See, I like that idea better.
Well, of course. I just have better ideas.
You just have better ideas. But my mobile, do you want to hear my mobile business idea for like
another
cooking?
One?
Another one, yes. This is the third one. This is one that I thought would be really fun. It's like if you had like a mobile bakery and all you made.
Like with easy bake ovens or something?
No, just like a. I thought it'd be fun because, like, you know, I spent a lot of time selling my crap at the markets. And I thought, you know, sometimes you just want a chocolate chip cookie. You just want something simple. And I thought,
okay,
how about
ahead.
You just have like a bake, like a mobile bakery with a couple ovens in it. You get your dough all ready. You don't need to pay a commercial bakery and do all that. You get vetted through Maricopa County or whoever, you know, for your mobile kitchen. And then you roll up to these events and you just make the best chocolate chip cookies.
Freshly baked.
Freshly baked, right out of the
oven. Couldn't you bake them like that morning and just keep them warm? Would that be really that much different?
Well, I think it'd be more dramatic. I mean, you would, you know, have some ready and then just sell like, you know, milk and cookies.
How long does it take to bake cookies?
Like what, 18 minutes?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
I mean, you could have them going. You would get it ready. But like all they would smell is like this wafting scent of chocolate chip cookies. And it'd just be simple. Maybe you could throw in some snickerdoodles or like.
You know, I appreciate simplicity. You know, I don't, like I said earlier, I don't really like overly complicated, overly menus that are too full.
Right.
If I, honestly, this is my hack, my quote hack, my tip, whatever.
Oh, no.
When if I was a restaurant, mm-hmm. I didn't know really what I wanted to order. I just usually order the cheapest thing on the menu. You know, I bet some people probably the exact opposite. Oh, just especially if they're not paying. I don't care if I'm paying or not. I usually just order the cheapest thing on the menu.
Right.
Because it's usually just as good as everything else.
Right. I tend to order the same thing at the restaurants I go to all the time. Like whatever I ordered
so
the first
boring.
Time. I know, because like, you know, it was like tried and true. If you enjoyed it, it's like, you know, I'll do that again. It just seems like it works.
Well, that's why you have a wife and a kid. So in case you don't like your dinner, you can steal theirs.
I don't have a wife and a kid.
There's a lot of utility. Well, that's what I'm saying. You should have gotten some or rent some the next time you want to go out or just bring your parents and take theirs.
Oh, gosh.
My idea for a restaurant, now that I've been thinking about it for a few minutes, the strangest thing occurred to me. I think, it could be all vegan. I'm not a vegan, but I could totally have a vegan restaurant because
right.
I have had some of the best food I've had has been vegan.
Right. Agree.
So I have no problem with that. Vegan, vegetarian, and maybe a little bit of meat. I like meat too. I do.
Mm.
More important than the food for me is the environment because mm-hmm. I hate modern restaurants. And by modern restaurants, I mean, sometimes, I don't know, it was in the late 70s or the early, I have a recollection of old restaurants being dark with a lot of upholstery, you know, on the walls and big tablecloths.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the nice things about that, all that upholstery and all that cloth, hanging cloth here and there, absorbs sound.
Right.
And these places, you used to be able to go in and you used to be able to be with your family and talk to them. And you could hear muffled sounds from other people mm-hmm. in the restaurant, but it wasn't overwhelming. You could focus on your conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Now it doesn't matter where, it seems like it doesn't matter where you go. You wind up in some, quote, modern atrocity.
Right.
Where everything is metal, glass, hardwood. There's nothing to stop the sound. And mm-hmm. they're so overwhelmingly loud. You have to literally yell at the people across the table.
Correct.
And you can't hear the person at the end of the table at all. This has completely taken over the restaurant. I mean, obviously, I haven't been to a restaurant in a couple of years, but my restaurant experience over the decades has been all like that. The funny thing about this to me is that a high-end restaurant is mm-hmm. like that. A low-end restaurant is like that. So you get a high-end restaurant, it's basically the same as McDonald's. So McDonald's is everything is just is glass and metal and tile, and that's so mm-hmm. they can, you know, basically hose it down to get rid of all the nasty kid germs. And a high-end restaurant may be nicer materials, but it's exactly the same as a McDonald's.
Exactly. And there's nothing more annoying than just that din. I find it like noise, a lot of noise and that background noise. And I get it here, too, like with the concept, like, you know, living with old people, you know, I get a lot of like the background TV. I'm not a TV watcher, but the TV is always on. And it really drains my energy. I find it mm-hmm. an energetic suck. And so if I'm going out for a nice meal, like you said, it doesn't matter. And I've been to some very nice restaurants in Phoenix that are exactly like that. And I don't only leave like feeling like I had a decent meal, but I feel emotionally exhausted.
That's awful. It just give me some intimacy. That's all
right.
I'm asking for. I don't want to hear. And you know, these their big open floor plan so that you basically just walk into a gymnasium
right.
with a bunch of tables in it all jammed together mm-hmm. and you're sitting on top of everyone and it's not pleasant. It's unpleasant. Why would I pay for that experience?
I know. That's why I loved Persian Garden before it closed. It was just a small, intimate restaurant. And it was just, they had the lovely food, a lot of vegetarian selections. And it was just delightful. And you can go there and just have a quiet meal with a friend. Misha and I used to go there a lot. I miss that. We were talking about it the other day.
So, like I said, it's more of an experience, the environment that I'm concerned mm-hmm. with, and because I'm just confused by food, as I'm confused by many things. I would have a desire to do real Italian food.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could pull it off, though. Even if I was just managing people, I'd have to literally go over and kidnap people from Sicily and bring them back here to do the cooking and the serving and whatnot. But I don't really want to do that.
I think kidnapping is probably bad. Like, you know,
is it?
Well, international abduction probably would be frowned upon in some circles.
But if it's in the purpose of giving people great food, doesn't that offset?
That might mitigate. It could mitigate something.
That's the problem is I've never had really good Italian food in the United States. I've had good Italian food, which mm-hmm. is way better than the crap you usually get at Italian right. restaurants. But it's still even the best Italian food I've here. And, you know, this goes back to Manhattan, New York, when I used to live uh-huh. in New York.
Uh-huh.
Even there, it still never even came close to rivaling genuine Italian food.
When was the last time you were in Italy?
Early 2000s.
Right. Okay.
2003, I think.
Is that different?
Oh, yeah. I traveled throughout there. I was in Sicily and I was also in northern Italy,
uh-huh.
which are vastly different. Oh,
they
the
are
funny thing
different.
Is. Catherine, ask me where the best Mexican food I've ever had is.
Where's the best Mexican food you ever had?
Italy.
I love it.
Ask me where the second best Italian Mexican food I've ever had was.
Okay, where?
Italy.
What part of Italy?
I think they're both restaurants were in the north, and it's not so much. Here's the thing. The Italians are so focused on their food. It doesn't matter what you throw at them. If you throw at them a Mexican menu, mm-hmm. a Mexican menu,
mm-hmm.
they'll take it and they will lovingly cherish every single ingredient and wax mm-hmm. poetic mm-hmm. with each individual ingredient mm-hmm. to make sure that whatever comes out is mind-blowing.
Oh, wow.
It's not that it's like that much better, but you can clearly, like the chimichanga was a whole different experience. Now, I will say their sides, like the refried beans, they had no idea what they were doing. Those
okay.
were terrible.
Okay.
But the main dishes were amazing just because they're so focused on making perfect food.
Now I want a chimichanga, and I haven't eaten one of those for like 10 years.
Yes, I do love those.
I think I might have to order one.
Back to my restaurant.
Yes. What are you going to do? Think,
you know, it maybe it would be vegan, and I wouldn't even tell people it's vegan because it's not really the point. I just want to make great food. But the other problem is I also have this other idea that's been fermenting in my head for the past 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'd want a second restaurant that was very different. So that first restaurant, it could be open for lunch, but it's mostly a dinner experience.
Right.
The second one, though, is breakfast and lunch, probably maybe dinner, but it's also much more kid-friendly. Like the first one is not really kid-friendly. You can bring a child, but as long as they know how not to scream.
Right. You'd have to have like a sign-up with like a Band-Aid over the kid's mouth.
Like no
on the door.
Diapers. Probably yeah. no diapers.
No diapers.
Unless you have a silent kid.
Oh, my God.
And actually, the tuck shop was kind of like that.
Yeah, the tuck shop was not kid-friendly, which I loved.
The second one would be much more jolly, and I want kids to be there because they're more fun. It'd be more
much
open.
More jolly.
Yeah. It'd be pancakes. It would be hot dogs. It would be stuff like that. Just a more fun environment. I guess like a Denny's done nicely.
Tofu dogs?
Tofu dogs. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I love tofu dogs.
Kids need their protein.
Tofu provides enough protein.
I know.
Yeah, I can't eat meat that's like in the form of a sausage.
What?
There's something about it that just drives me crazy. But tofu dogs I'm down with. Enough sauerkraut and mustard on those, you don't even know the difference.
Well, I am thinking about getting an air fryer. And one of the main problems is trying to make sure they can cook burgers because that's one of the things we'd primarily be using it for, probably.
Oh, really?
And it's not necessarily beef burgers, but primarily those meatless burgers.
Like I love
Costco,
those.
Which are going down in price finally.
Are they finally? I've got to go to Costco.
Well,
I'm not going
they may
to
have just week. Been on sale the last time I saw them, but they had come down from 15 for four to like 12, I think.
Okay.
Which is still, you know, obviously quite expensive. You can get a fraction. You can get a meat patties at the fraction of the price.
I know, right? Did you ever make, funny. Like, I was a vegetarian for a good like chunks of my life, and I still have this old cookbook from the 70s, maybe. Like I was like in grade school, I'm like, I don't want to eat meat. And I told you this, didn't I, before? My father would be like, someday you'll be running through the street craving a burger or a piece of steak. It's like, no, I won't. And so anyway, but I bought this book. It's called the Forget About Meat Cookbook, and I still have it. And they still, it was a simple book written by a bunch of hippies in the 70s. It's falling apart at the seams, but they have some of the best recipes for like these vegetarian burgers that I've never rivaled anything since. Like their stuff.
How much prep time is it? Does it involve?
It's not that big of a deal. And quite frankly, I've had good and bad luck with the vegetarian meat options.
Right.
And
well, they're getting better all the time.
Yeah,
it
I'm sure they are.
Miss,
yeah. I was a big Morningstar burger person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and all that. I find that if you could do it with black beans and, you know, brown rice. I'm not a big brown rice person because there's a lot of arsenic in brown rice. But some of these recipes are amazing. And it's like minimal prep time. I'm so, you know, after being holed up in this house for going on 2 years now, it's like, what do I have but time? And so I kind of like sift through some of these old books. I have this another tofu cookbook that I bought in some used bookstore in Tempe. And
how many cookbooks do you have?
I have a whole section. I'm looking at them right
now.
Yes,
I know you have a whole section, but I don't know what that means because I've never seen your book collection. So I don't know if it's like 12 books or if it's 1,000 books.
Maybe 40.
Holy. Wait. Cookbooks?
Cookbooks. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and I got rid of a lot of them because this is decreased. And
wow.
So, yeah, I have like my vegetarian/vegan section.
Oh, my God.
I have a whole like bread and like gluten section.
I don't own a single cookbook.
Oh, then I have some for
my wife
like.
My does, but I don't.
Yeah, I have
Let's
several.
Let's not go through your library.
I know, I'm sorry. It's just like now I'm getting like, oh, maybe I'll make some like vegetarian burgers for dinner.
Yes, let's do that. And you can make me some and drop them off. Or
okay.
At least give me the recipe. I'm not very good. I'm a terrible cook, but.
I will. I'll take pictures of the recipe and just send them to you.
I get all my veggie burgers from Costco. Oh. The black bean burgers.
I have a black bean recipe that'll knock your socks off.
Do you remember when I was talking about food on the cruises?
Yes.
One day I went in there, the first meal, I wanted was a veggie burger. It wasn't on the menu. I asked and they said, oh yeah, we can do that for you. So
cool.
They brought me out probably the best black bean burger I've ever had.
Wow.
Oh God, I love cruises. I mean, love and hate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to do anything until maybe ever. So those are my ideas. I mean, in terms of restaurants, I'd like your idea. You could just have one space. There's a restaurant in Prescott.
No. Can't have one space.
Like a mixed use space. No.
Well, the problem is like they're totally different space. They're basically 180 degrees separate in the idea of what the space is like. It's open and airy for the kids. And of course you have to have hard clean surfaces or you can clean them easily.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is just, it's like draped. It's like Dracula. Imagine Dracula going to dinner. And this is dark, it's velvety, it's silent, and then someone comes and drinks your blood. No. You can cut the
I was just thinking part, like you could just have like one kitchen and two like storefronts. You have to have some sort of synergy. You have to have some sort of efficiency.
I don't. I've won the lottery. It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does, because you could have one kitchen. I just keep thinking of this restaurant in Prescott, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's the cutest little breakfast place during the morning, and they have phenomenal breakfast food. And then, bam, at night, it turns into the coolest Mexican restaurant.
Okay, well, you know, I guess we could roll everything up and just have it all.
Right, like or have like two storefronts. I mean, there's enough space in Phoenix.
I don't know. I want them to be different.
Well, they could be different, but you could have one kitchen.
But again, I think that the kitchen is going to be serving different things. So I don't know enough about kitchens or whatnot. I just know I'm going to get an air fryer and we're going to go from there.
Okay. When you do your air fryer research, would you fast forward
that to
me?
I've already done it. I've just been looking at the two that Costco has because all I can talk about is Costco. They've got one with two trays or bins or drawers or whatever you taught them. And they've got one that is basically just like a regular air fryer, but it's more oriented toward being a griller.
So was it the one that exploded?
Here's the thing. These are just like a George Foreman grills in a way,
mm-hmm.
right?
Except God, I have three of those.
Very careful. The thing is, the reason I threw out my George Foreman grill is it was impossible to clean. So it just wasn't worth using. These are very cleanable. These are so easy. They look like they're so easy to clean.
I have three George Foreman grills, and I can't bring myself to use them.
Just throw them all out. They're junk. I mean, the idea is good, but they need to design them so you can clean them more easily.
I know. One of them does have a thing, like the last one I bought, and you can take out the tray and actually clean it better. But I find it such an onerous pain in the ass that I just don't ever use it.
This one, the one with the two drawers, you just take the drawers out. You can soak the drawers. And the other one starts with a big pan at the bottom.
Okay.
And then you set the grill into that. So both of those things come out. So you can basically just soak that in the sink as well. And then, you know, if you soak something like that, it's going to clean itself.
Right. Well, I'm going to have to look into that.
You know, I'm a little worried where we're going right now, talking about washing George Foreman grills. I think we may have run out of content for this week.
I don't know.
Wait
if
a second.
Have.
Did we even start?
I don't know. Did
we even talk about any art? We were going to talk about AI art. We were going to talk about artists of the week.
Well, artists of the week, I think we'll have to We got off track.
Derailed.
Yeah, we got off track. Is this even worth publishing?